to you. Here we are on our last session on the letter of Philippians, Paul's letter. And so today I'm going to read from Philippians 4, verses 10 through 23. I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned for me, but had no opportunity to show it. Not that I'm referring to being in need, for I have learned to be content with whatever I have. I know what it is to have little, and I know what it is to have plenty. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being well fed and of going hungry, of having plenty and being in need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. In any case, it was kind of you to share my distress. You Philippians indeed know that in the early days of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you alone. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs more than once. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the profit that accumulates to your account. I have been paid in full and have more than enough. I am fully satisfied. Now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will fully satisfy every need of yours, according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The friends who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of the emperor's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. So today, as we read those words, this is the part of the letter where he is truly acknowledging and giving thanks for the Philippians' gift, for all that they collected and sent to him, and for the difference that it made in the ministry of which he was a part. And he wanted to recognize, I think, that full partnership and the power that came through that shared partnership. Of course, Paul talked a lot about the shared suffering that he has experienced, that they've experienced, the challenges that have been there, the obstacles. It's all been a part of the work of sharing the gospel in the world. They've experienced agape love, unconditional love, the love they find in their Savior. They've experienced the gift of koinonia, what can be accomplished in and through community. And of course, grace, gift, generosity comes through a shared life. For Paul, it was really important that he affirmed to each of them that he had been shipwrecked, beaten, imprisoned. Paul had seen the downside of life. He had also known prosperity. Both, he suggests, offer temptations. But Paul had discovered a secret for contentment in all situations: his deeply personal sense of living in Christ. And this is what he found was strength to handle anything and everything. That was the key. Paul had discovered a secret for contentment in all situations. It was his deeply personal sense of living in Christ. So there were thoughts at the time of Paul from different philosophies or theologies that to experience contentment, you would just see one that maybe heaven and earth were totally separated, where God would rule the heaven and God didn't really care what happened on earth. And that meant for the humans on earth, they would just settle down and not really fret because they were just left to their own devices and had to survive, do what they do. On the other hand, there was the belief that, as you lived out life, you would worry through it all. And that you thought you might be able to change something, but as you stepped back and said, I can't really affect much change, so I'm just going to, again, allow things to be the way they are. Well, for Paul, none of that was the case. For Paul, he saw that, again, Jesus brought a new world into being. A whole new way of being had been birthed in him. So it wasn't, oh, well, this is just the way it is. He found strength in the one who gives power to deal with the suffering, to deal with the anxiety, to deal with the joys, and to deal with the sorrows. Everything held by the power and purpose of God. That's why he said, I have strength in him. As we know through other testimonies, we hear that the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. And Paul was taking and wedding these things together, seeing that God was at work. And now in this beloved community of saints, the people who would share their resources and share the gospel and be about joy, even in the midst of suffering, that this new community would spread and grow throughout the land, that more people would come to know this Messiah that they had come to experience. Well, at the end of the letter, he references the emperor's household, Caesar's household. And this is odd to see this there at the end where he says, greet everyone, and all the saints here greet you, especially those of the emperor's household. And it causes kind of a full stop. You maybe get a smirk on your face. You ask, what's going on here? Well, it's important to note in every place, there was a Caesar's household, a home, so that when they were out visiting the territories and the cities and the towns, that they'd have a place to stay. The royal family would be comfortable. Well, Paul perhaps had saved this for the very last. What Paul is really saying here is that, yes, God's people here are with you, and guess what? There's even some in Caesar's household now who've come to know this Jesus, this King Jesus. And they too are living for him right under the nose of Caesar. Anybody reading this letter would have got that smile on their face to say, oh my goodness, this is hard to imagine. It's hard to see, but yes, it's more than possible. As people hear this new way of life, this new heaven, this new earth, this new kingdom, this new way of being, others want to be a part of it. And so, yes, even those living right under Caesar, we're starting to live for the vision that is found in King Jesus. And part of the tension that they're living in is that very dynamic. So the gospel is alive and well, and it is being shared. And Paul wanted to wrap this letter up by reminding people to live in the good news in the day of the Lord, to live in what is being launched in Jesus. And our challenge is to do the same. To recognize God at work, to look for where God is active in the world, to see how Jesus has shaped and changed our life, and then to go about that work everywhere that we are, all throughout the land, and every time, in every situation. And so, church, just a few questions to wrap up for your devotional thoughts. How does Paul's teaching on generosity here in this letter challenge you to approach stewardship in the ways that you give? How does Paul's teaching on generosity challenge you? Number two, how might knowing that you live in a world in which the day of the Messiah is continually dawning strength, how might knowing that you live in a world in which the day of the Messiah is continually dawning strengthen you in your current circumstance, whether you are living in plenty or in want? I'll say that question again. How might knowing that you live in a world in which the day of the Messiah is continually dawning strengthen you in your current circumstances, whether you are living in plenty or in want? And the last question. In what ways, perhaps, have you or people in this world privatized our faith at the expense of our public witness? And how might the message of Philippians encourage you to lean into the tension of living for Jesus while it seems that Caesar is still in charge. In what ways have you privatized your faith at the expense of your public witness? And how might the message of Philippians encourage you to lean into the tensions of living for Jesus while Caesar is still in charge? Okay, church, just like Paul said, greet everyone in Christ Jesus, because the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is always and forever with your spirit. God's peace and hope. You all take care. Bye-bye.